gentlemen, welcome back. Our 10-ring circus carries on, and we have with us Mitch Henderson now. Zelensky, that cokehead Zionist blabbermouth moron thief, I don't want to go any further. You know who he is. His big counteroffensive in the Kherson area was crushed like a cockroach by the Russian military. Just crushed today. So that's it. One wonders how many weapons Europe is going to continue sending him. The Germans say they're going to send him now state-of-the-art weapons. They said that today. But the counteroffensive was destroyed. Mitchell Henderson, welcome back. Can you hear me?
Yes, good to be here.
All right, we got you loud and clear. Good.
Okay. So I'm going to talk about several different things tonight. I'm going to start with, this is kind of following the last two monologues that I had. This is about how Asians see Asia, to understand it the way they understand it, okay? So to help understand the dynamics of Asian policy, it's helpful to understand how Asians understand relations with the West. First, the Asian tiger economies have a few things in common. They were never ruled by Western powers for any length of time. China, Korea, Japan, and Thailand have modernized on their own terms. Malaysia and Singapore were British colonies, but they are the exceptions because of their majority Chinese and Hindu peoples. French Indochina, to include Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos, have not been economic tigers. Indonesia, which is Muslim and a former Dutch colony, is doing better once they said no to the West. The next to the poorest nation is the Philippines, which for 400 years, a Spanish colony, and 50 years, a U.S. colony. Asians see the Filipinos as Westerners. The poorest nation in Asia is Papua New Guinea, which is a black nation, not an Asian nation. It is the poorest. Papua New Guinea was a British colony and after independence has relied on Australia for everything. Australia has a woke government, so the Papuans have nothing. Consequently, you can see that there is a direct relationship between their economic well-being and their distance from the West. We, in fact, do not bring wealth and development to Asia. They have to cut ties with us to get anywhere. This is why they refuse to go along with the U.S. to impose sanctions on Russia. The Philippines had a traumatic relationship with the United States. In 1898, Emilio Aguinaldo led the Philippines independence from the Spain movement. The Philippines declared independence, but the Americans acted like what the Filipinos thought meant nothing and ignored the desires of the Filipino people, just like they ignore us in our own land now. The U.S. imposed colonial rule. The Filipinos were very upset to change one colonial master for another. In 1902, the Philippine insurrection began. We dealt with this insurrection like the Spanish did in 1898 in Cuba by moving rural people into camps to keep them from supporting the rebels. The Spanish General Wexler called these concentration camps. The British adapted the tactic in South Africa during the Boer War, placing the families of Dutch Boer families in concentration camps. The British camps were death sentences for the Boer women and children. Mahatma Gandhi, who was medical orderly for the British Army, wrote of the evils committed there. The U.S. set up a concentration camps during the Philippine insurrection and treated its inmates like the British did, taking 200,000 Filipino lives. We ignorantly say that we have a great relationship with the Philippines, but the Filipinos think very differently about it. America was a curse upon them. They did not like to be called our little brown brothers. We treated them inhumanely and stole their dignity. We were not even good friends, let alone a brother. The original anti-colonialist power had become a colonialist power under the Democratic Party USA. McKinley was a Republican president, but Congress was Democratic and declared war on Spain with a supermajority. A woke anarchist ended up assassinating McKinley. Okay, so that kind of finishes up talking about Asia and the way that they see things. So I'm going to move on to talk about the Great Replacement here a little bit, okay?
The Great Replacement.
So the United States,
all right,
the Great Replacement.
Reset, right?
Yeah. The United States passed laws in the 1960s against racial discrimination in the government and in the workplace. If a government official made a racially discriminating policies, they could be charged with felony depriving people of their civil rights under the color of law. This is what cops get charged with when they kill black people. The Minneapolis Board of Education put out a policy that when there are layoffs in the school system, white people have to be laid off first, even if they are the very best teachers and have more seniority than others. This is a direct violation of the law and a direct violation of the U.S. Bill of Rights. Yet nothing is done about it. The woke refrain is that it is not racist to be racist to white people. Only white people can be racist. This is everywhere. I talked to a friend that is an excellent craftsman and very hard worker. He had a job with city government refurbishing buildings. They had to cut employees. They simply fired all of the white workers. I remember seeing a Black Lives Matter protesters carrying signs saying, "Skin color is not a crime." They are total hypocrites because they have pushed being white as a crime. Woke people cannot think logically. They redefine everything so that they can create a new logic using new terms and definitions that allow them to virtue signal and put symbols over substance in their arguments. Franklin Madison, the head of the Good Men Project, which is a website that teaches that only good men are those that have been completely stripped of their manhood. Mr. Madison, a black man, said, "You, white males, don't get to define whether you are racist or not." This is the woke tactic of making up stupid illogical rules that logically support their thesis. In reality, you are the only person that defines you. Only you know if you are a racist or not. Others don't get to call that shot. For example, there's nothing you can do greater for another individual than put your life on the line for them. I have risked my life to save the lives of black people, Hispanics, and Asians. It was my job. That should clearly indicate that I am not a racist. But woke people who have never lifted a finger to help a person of color declare me a racist by virtue of my skin color, which is the very definition of racism. The New York Times hired Sarah Jong, a rabidly anti-white racist Asian woman, who says that white people have no culture and that they have invented nothing. That was her plan all along, that white people go extinct, and she posted the hashtag cancel white people. All of my life, I had to watch as black people or women were promoted before me. A friend passed the sergeant's exam on the police department, 97%, was number one on the list to be promoted. But instead, they promoted a black officer that ranked 57 on the list and barely passed with a 76% score. I knew some very good black officers who regretted that affirmative action actually was racist, in that anything a black person accomplishes is a gift from rich, white, woke elites, and in no way a personal accomplishment. This is a disservice to capable black people. In fact, the modern world in all of its comforts were in fact invented by white people. Democracy and freedom are political systems created by white men. Even Marxism and woke religion is an invention of white people. Western civilization is white culture, and it conquered the world. This is just truth. Wokeism is fantasy. Wokeism is a dogmatic, judgmental, and sanctimonious religion. What will happen to modern civilization without whites? Look at Africa, for an example. What is the Eastern Congo today is America tomorrow under the pedophile Marxist Biden regime and its low-intelligence woke leadership. Affirmative action has failed entirely, so now they will hire, fire, and promote based on skin color alone. They call that equity, but I call it failure. If you cannot accept reality, then you are building a society based on pure lies. We are soon to be a failed state. There are really just two groups of people in the United States, those who love individual freedom, as encapsulated in the Bill of Rights, and those who demand Marxist collectivism. That is the real dividing line in America. I think America is going to fall apart soon. The free people will fight against the woke Marxists. According to critical race theory and diversity, equity, and inclusion, white people are responsible for all the evil in the world, and CRT and DEI is blatant bigotry against white people, has within it the solution to the race problem, separation and divorce. Under DEI and CRT, white people are to be punished for the sins of their ancestors. White people are guilty by dint of their skin color. So a white homeland in North America is essential to the survival of the white race. Since whites cannot possibly be fair to people of color, and living in a white nation is neocolonialism in the eyes of people of color, we should definitely liberate all people of color by giving them their own racial homeland. Then what they accomplish is entirely entirely on their own and will be a credit to them alone. I can see a new America forming, one with white homelands and black homelands. Instead of out of many people one, we will have out of many people many nations. Multinationalism and diversity is in one nation negates that which is makes a nation. It is an opportunity for envy, jealousy, and hatred. America is not a nation. White people wish to be liberated from the tyranny of the woke. The woke can be slaves in a black nation state if they think that is fair. Okay, so that's my little great replacement rant.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one.
So, I mean, it's the obvious solution. I mean, listen, they've painted, CRT has painted racism such that if you're white, you're a racist whether you know it or not. So
oh,
the only solution
genetic.
Is there has
it's a genetic predisposition.
We have to separate white people from other people
right.
for their own good, right? So, okay.
Right.
So I want to go cover some media idiocy and lies. On August 1st, the New York Times published an article on anti-vaxxers and how they created the anti-mandate vote. When talking about beliefs of the anti-vaxxers, the New York Times said, quote, on Facebook, they found other worried parents who sympathized with them. They shared notes and online articles. And check this out, they write, many of them misleading about the efficacy of masks and vaccines. See, they have to put in there that it's misleading. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They make that judgment for you. You're not supposed to think.
Oh, nice.
It is not the job of the press to determine what truth is and what is not. They are supposed to give you the information so that you can decide. When they tell you what you are supposed to believe, it is called brainwashing. The press insists on circumscribing their own freedom. It is like white people kneeling down and kissing the boots of black men for a sin that they never personally committed. Our Constitution states specifically that there is no inherited nobility and there shall be no corruption of blood. That means, very specifically, that you are not guilty of what your ancestors did, just as you do not inherit their nobility. When I was young, the news never talked about misinformation. Now all of the news and all of the government statements, without exception, are in fact misinformation. Labeling something as misinformation is not the press nor the government's job in a society with freedom of speech. So USA Today on August 19th had an article on how to attack the gun manufacturers by attacking their advertising. They use tobacco ads as an example of how they can get rid of guns. They say Democrats and advocates are seeking to address gun violence, argue that owning a gun does not make your home safer, a case for false advertising, and that marking offensive tactical operations with military-grade weapons constitutes unlawful use of a product. You would have to be super naive to believe that for a minute. If you are attacked by a home invasion robber, the police will not help you before, during, or after the robbery. The only defense that you have is what you yourself provide. You see, Democrats have a Stalinist mindset. One man's death is a tragedy, but a million men's death is a statistic. They don't care if you are brutally murdered in your home. They want the illusion of safety, not actual safety. They do not want you to know what the Second Amendment is about, because it is about defending ourselves against them. The body of the Constitution devises a government with checks and balances, and the Second Amendment puts power directly in the hands of citizens. It is our final trump card against the totalitarian government. They are afraid because they know that they are the very people that the Second Amendment is addressing. They are the people that we need protected from. The Second Amendment does not protect a sport. It is the final protector of our freedom. Frankly, I think advocating for restrictions on the Second Amendment or abolishing it is high treason, worthy of a fair trial and a hanging. Our government has a constitutional duty to protect us from these woke people. Where are they? The government has abdicated the reason for being. They are involved in destroying the Bill of Rights, not protecting it. Who is the legitimate government? We the people are, not the woke social justice warriors who are destroying our land. The USA Today article actually says this, quote, the gun industry is appealing to and encouraging anti-government and increasingly extremist fringe that believes it has to arm itself to the teeth to prepare for some sort of political war in America. You bet. That is exactly the point. The unconstitutional vaccine mandates sold 21 million firearms last year. 21 million is more than just a fringe, okay? We should be afraid. In 2008, the Marxist Obama made a speech about creating a civilian national security force to fight the basket of deplorables and the guns and Bible clingers. Last week, the pedophile Marxist dictator Biden signed a new law, a new woke law called the Inflation Reduction Act that does absolutely nothing to reduce inflation, but will certainly increase inflation with all its useless spending. In that bill, he was authorized to hire 87,000 new IRS agents. This, folks, is the new national security force that Obama wanted. They will be coming to take all that you own. This is just the beginning of sorrows. Okay, so let me move on to war with Russia. Okay, the United States continues to bully Russia into a war. Nancy Pelosi insists on declaring Russia a state sponsor of terrorism. This would cause Russia to break all diplomatic relations with the United States. Speaker Pelosi only cares about people obeying her in her unprincipled, mock righteous indignation. Some of the more woke European nations like Lithuania have already designated Russia a state sponsor of terrorism. But then again, who cares what Lithuania thinks? Okay, their virtue signaling tells the real nature of World War III. It is race war between the self-flagellating white people, or race traitors, if you will, and decent Christian white people. Russia is the seat of white Christianity and must be destroyed in the minds of the pedophile Marxist Biden regime. The hypocrisy is that to these same woke people is that they, and not the Chinese, that must lead the world. Notice how the world seems to have no voice in who will lead them, just as you must obey the state that exists to serve you instead of the other way around. Morally decadent woke people think that they know what you should think, do, and believe. You should not believe in reason, morality, or God. They will not be satisfied until you are a gay or lesbian atheist.
That's true.
The same problem
that we have with the
yeah. pedophile Marxist Biden regime is the problem that the world has with it. Trust me that Europe is not the world. Europe is a woke social justice warrior society. Anti-Russian provocations happen daily. The U.S. government openly stated that that Ukraine can use HIMARS missiles to attack Crimea and the Kerch Bridge and said using them against the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant is fair game. These are very clear red lines that Russia set. We are ignoring them as if they were afraid of us. They are not afraid of us. America pilots drones that attack the Black Sea fleet. We fire the HIMARS with an American finger on the HIMARS trigger. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybakov said last weekend that the U.S. is on the verge of becoming a party to the conflict because America will not take the Russian red lines seriously, and that sending offensive weapons is not self-defense and involves the U.S. directly in the conflict. The pedophile Marxist Biden regime doubles down and says that we are going to start shipping warplanes to Ukraine. That crosses yet another Russian red line. A woke government will accomplish the extermination of the white race sooner than the World Economic Forum had hoped. Their miscalculation is that they think that Russian whites will be exterminated too. While America shelters only 0.01% of its population, the woke leadership, Russia intends to shelter 80% of its population. Who cares about their people? Not the USA. The pedophile Marxist Biden regime thinks that we are all worthless hicks and all it wants is all dead. We the people do not matter. Rybakov continued, the ever more obvious and deeper involvement in Ukraine in terms of countering our military operation, in fact, puts this country, the U.S., on the verge of turning into a party to the conflict. Okay, so we have to realize in the United States that we are not the ones who determine whether we are at war with Russia or not. Russia gets to call that shot, okay, and it doesn't matter if we're in denial about it or not, okay? So, people, your government is risking the lives of you and all who you love to virtue signal about a matter that is of zero viral interest to the United States, but of total vital interest to Russia. If only America could give peace a chance, okay? The UK is on board with our illegal government. General Patrick Sanders, chief of staff of the UK military, said this weekend that the British forces must become capable of defeating Russia in battle. That is absolutely laughable. You gave America your ludicrous. Empire, and now you are a nobody.
That's like Russia bad comedy.
Russia has already told you that you are number one with a bullet. The UK military won't even recruit any white males and insists that women make up 30% of the force. NATO is not united in any sense. Poland demands that Ukraine apologize for the genocide of Poles under the Bolsheviks. This is a pretext for war. Russia is okay with Poland, Romania, and Hungary attacking Ukraine and taking territory. Hungary has leveled its pretext for war with Ukraine in saying that post-Soviet Ukraine has been ethnic cleansing itself of ethnic Hungarians. Meanwhile, Turkey has told Finland and Sweden that they have not kept any of their obligations to extradite terrorists that Turkey is seeking. Erdogan will not send their nomination to Turkish parliament to approve until they fulfill their obligations that they agreed to. The Turkish foreign ministry said, "Our expectation is not about those accused of fraud. The Finnish and Swedish governments should understand that. The accession of Sweden and Finland will not go one step forward unless they keep their commitments. Sweden and Finland have woke governments like ours, and they simply will not listen and will never keep their word about anything that is beneficial to someone else." Economically, anti-Russian sanctions have caused the Germans to buy wood-burning stoves to keep them warm this winter. And check this out. A cord of wood goes for about $1,000 in Germany. It's about $300 in the United States, more or less, depending on where you are.
Yeah. Okay. Or so if you have a chainsaw, you can go out and knock it down for $50.
Yeah, right.
All right. Very good. Hold on, Mitch. We got to take a break.
Okay.
That was a lot of material. I don't know if you have a certain goal to get through, but it's so important what you're saying. Slow down a little bit and let those words percolate in, because they are just very powerful, very important. Thank you. Hold on. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. Mitchell Henderson and geopolitics, as he covers so well. Go ahead, Mitch.
Okay, so as I was talking about, the Germans have to buy wood-burning stoves to keep them warm this winter. So much for Germany's Green New Deal. They have gone from wood fuel to coal to oil and are now back at wood. Okay, in May 2020, the last wood-burning stoves were taken off the shelves in America. The Green New Deal is more important than your life.
Wait, hold on, excuse me.
Yes, go ahead.
In May of 2020... the last wood-burning stoves were taken out of stores and off shelves in the U.S.?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, you'll find it very hard to get a wood-burning stove, a pure wood-burning stove, just an old-fashioned wood-burning stove. Those aren't allowed anymore. They have some other thing with all these devices on it to superheat the exhaust.
Oh, like a catalytic converter kind of a thing.
Right. But the old, standard, simple... Because in survival, simplicity is very important, okay? Because the more complex something is, the more likely it's going to break down and fail you. So simplicity is very important in survival. Okay?
So they're not ordering people to take them out of their homes yet.
No, they're not.
Ordering them.
It's one of these phase-out type of deals, you know?
Wow. All right, I don't know how. I heard there was talk about that. I didn't hear the date come and go, though. I missed it. I guess with all this other crap, I can be excused.
Well, I had gone down to buy one, and they told me you got to buy it before May because they won't be available after that. Like Home Depot and Lowe's, many of those stores quit selling them. Okay.
Well, I bet you the used ones on eBay and whatever else, Craigslist, would be going for a lot of money now if they're any good.
Well, I will tell you something. If you live near an Indian reservation, they still sell wood-burning stoves. Because, see, it would be unfair to deprive this marginalized community of wood-burning stoves, okay? They just don't have the money to buy the new stuff, okay? So you can still go to a store on an Indian reservation and you can get a wood-burning stove, okay? So for anybody who lives near a reservation. Okay, in the United Kingdom, the economy is so bad that housewives are having to resort to prostitution just to pay the bills. They predict that 1 out of 4 people in the United Kingdom will not have heating this winter. Okay, they're even saying that it'll be a big back-to-work push because people will go back to work just to stay warm. Okay, Now, in all this that's going on in aggressive foreign policy, Russia and China have both decided to normalize relations with North Korea. The international order is on its deathbed, people. Okay, so let me go to the war in Ukraine. Bounce back to there. Agnes Callamard, Amnesty International International Secretary General, had to resign under pressure from Ukraine because she would not retract her statements about what Amnesty International investigators found in Ukraine. They said that Ukrainian forces have put civilians in harm's way by establishing bases and operating weapons systems in populated residential areas, including schools and hospitals. We have documented a pattern of Ukrainian forces putting civilians at risk and violating the laws of war when they operate in populated areas. Being in a defensive position does not exempt the Ukrainian military from respecting international humanitarian law. I spoke to people in the war zone months ago who made the same exact complaints. Zelensky replied that Amnesty International is an accomplice of Russia and, in fact, are terrorists themselves. So look how we bandy that word terrorist about, okay? Everybody can be a terrorist, okay?
You bet.
Americans, you are paying billions of dollars to exterminate the white people of Ukraine. You should write to your congressman and let them know that you want them to stop supplying Ukraine with weapons, to stop the genocide, and allow the Ukrainian people to be done with the Zelensky regime and get their freedom back. Why are white people paying for the genocide of other whites? Good question. Okay, so let me flip for some background on China, okay, the war with China. To understand Chinese thinking, we should go back to the Shanghai Communique of 1972. This is what China wanted to open itself to the world. This is what they demanded from President Nixon. One, the Taiwan question is the crucial question obstructing the normalization of relations between China and the United States. Two, the government of the People's Republic of China is the sole legal government of China. Three, Taiwan is a province of China. Four, the liberation of Taiwan is China's internal affair, which no other country has the right to interfere. This was 50 years ago. I think it's very clear. We ignore it. Speaker Pelosi has probably never even read it. Then came the joint China-U.S. Communique of 1979 under President Carter. It stated, one, the government of the People's Republic of China is the sole legal government of China. Two, within the context of this statement, the people of the United States will maintain cultural, commercial, and other unofficial relations with the people of Taiwan. Yes, Speaker Pelosi, this means you. You are Speaker of the House, third down from President. You are official. The U.S. Congress passed the Taiwan Relations Act of 1979 under Jimmy Carter that set out our relations with Taiwan. It ignored all that China asked. But this act is not an agreement between China and the USA. It is a unilateral policy initiated without Chinese agreement. The Taiwan Relations Act is a monument to American perfidy and tone deafness. Then came the third U.S.-China communique under President Reagan in 1982. It said, one, the U.S. has not set a date for ending arms sales to Taiwan. Two, the U.S. has not agreed to prior consultations with China about arms sales to Taiwan, although the U.S. promised that it would gradually reduce its sales of arms to Taiwan. That promise was made 43 years ago. Why are we sending more arms to Taiwan now than ever before? Under Reagan, Bush, and Clinton, arms sales to Taiwan increased exponentially in spite of our promises to do the opposite. So whenever you think about how China looks at it, just think. We promise them things, and then we backpedal. Okay, so what are they to think about us? Okay, three, the U.S. has not agreed to any mediation between China and Taiwan. Four, the U.S. has not agreed to revise the Taiwan Relations Act. Five, the U.S. has not taken a position regarding the sovereignty of Taiwan. Six, the U.S. would never pressure on Taiwan to negotiate with China. This statement was not an agreement so much as a written statement of how the U.S. was not complying with any previous agreements. At this time, China's economy is weak, and the Chinese military had just started revamping and modernizing their military. In 1979, China invaded Vietnam and lost 300,000 dead in 1 month of fighting. This was traumatic from China. After all, America only lost 58,000 dead in 21 years of war with North Vietnam. It was a humiliation that led to the modernization of the People's Liberation Army. In 2005, China made its position clear by passing the anti-secession law. It stated that China would not stand idle in the face of any effort to cause the fact of Taiwan's secession from China. If this was to occur, China would use any means necessary to protect Chinese sovereignty and territorial integrity. In other words, they made it crystal clear to us, okay? But crystal clear is not enough. Our government does not listen to anybody, okay? We tell people what to do. We don't listen to anyone, okay? The pedophile Marxist Biden regime stated on his first day in office, we will deter Chinese aggression and counter threats to the collective security, prosperity, and democratic way of life. This might as well have been a declaration of war because he, in effect, negated all agreements with China. It told China that they must obey the old pedophile. Why can't the pedophile Marxist Biden regime worry about American security instead of exterminating Americans for Ukrainians and Taiwanese? Why does the pedophile Marxist regime insist on destroying the prosperity of American citizens? The Biden regime is a dictatorship that was installed by a rigged election. They murdered over 600,000 Americans in true communist style in order to get into power. Some of them are your family and friends. Why can't Biden promote democracy in America? Why does Biden and his cronies want you dead? The pedophile Marxist Biden regime is causing a war with China. You will pay for it. Okay. So, you know, that's it for my monologue. But on my mind is just I spent the last week. I was looking over a lot of critical race theory and diversity, inclusion, and equity.
Right.
Papers and stuff. Uh-huh. And the bottom line is this, is that white people, according to CRT, white people are intractably racist, and it's an incurable disease. White people can never be non-racist. As a matter of fact, only white people can be racist. Nobody else can be racist, only white people. Okay, so this is a rigged game.
Can you answer one question rhetorically, he said?
Okay.
Why are 9 out of 10 crimes involving blacks and whites black on white crime, if whites are the racists?
It's a good point. I mean, we see them attacking white people in videos all the time. Nothing's done about it. It's not a hate crime. It's not, you know, I mean, the guy that ran into the Christmas parade, well, it was a possible traffic accident, you know, is the way they put it. If he was a white guy, it would be a horrific white nationalist that had attacked out of racism. Okay. So they use DEI and critical race theory in order to label things and stuff. I mean, it's come to a point where now if they have a mass shooting and they don't immediately identify the shooter, the shooter is either Muslim or a person of color, okay? Because they don't want to say what he is.
No, they don't.
You know,
you're right.
They hold back.
Well, they'll have
that.
No problem saying if he's white, but with pictures.
Oh, no, they'll not just say he's white, but they'll jump to the conclusion that it was a racist attack also.
Yes.
Okay. So they're just looking at, like in Albuquerque, they had these this Muslim man went and killed 5 other Muslim men. Now, as a previous police detective, I would be very concerned about the way that they're dealing with it, because they said, well, this is probably like a white supremacist or something attacking poor innocent Muslims and stuff, but I would look at the fact that that 4 of the 5 people's last name was Hussein. Okay, to me as a cop, that would tell me that this is a personal attack. This is not a random attack. You don't randomly attack 4 people in the same family. Okay, that's very unlikely. But they wanted to pin it so bad on a white nationalist that when they caught a Muslim for doing it, the police chief in Albuquerque, the news briefing when they arrested the guy, they said, well, so is this a hate crime? And the police chief said, well, we don't know if it's a hate crime or not. And, you know, it's just like it's a Muslim guy killing Muslims. Where's the hate? It's them killing themselves. It was probably just something personal. You know, a personal vendetta, not a hate crime. Well, I hate the term hate crime, Jeff, because tell me what crimes are done out of love, and concern for your fellow human being.
By definition, okay? Of crime, of course, the word itself is
right. It implies that there's some hatred there, or at least some unconcern for others, you know. So on the DEI and the CRT, I mean, they have painted white people into such a corner that white people will always be the whipping dog of the excuse for everybody else's failure from here on out. So there is only one answer to this, and that is we have to divorce. You know, we cannot subject black people and Hispanic people and Asian people to white neocolonialism. So what we need to do is we need to have our own homeland and give them their own homelands, too. We need a divorce. As long as there's it's multinational and diverse, there will be hatred, there will be envy, there will be bloodshed. Okay. The only way to stop racism is to separate the races. There is no other. There is no other answer. There's no answers, especially in context of CRT, because it's a loaded game in CRT's philosophy.
Understood.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think there's any other answer. And I think there's, you know, the past 3 years, I have traveled around the United States. I've talked to different groups and stuff that were concerned with the political movement in the United States, where we're headed to. Well, that we've become a communist dictatorship, okay, basically. You have different things. You have, I talk to people like in the Northeast that it's predominantly white already. They want a white homeland up there. They want to exclude people that aren't white because all they're going to do is make trouble. Okay, it'll just be a problem. The only way for black people to be free is to be free of white people, to have their own land. Then their failures and their successes are to their credit or to their discredit alone. They can't blame somebody else. Okay, that whipping dog will be gone. They won't have a crutch. They won't have that crutch of, oh, we're oppressed people and the game is rigged against us. Well, you don't fix that by rigging the game against white people. Okay, I mean, they're like the Minneapolis school board, fire white people first to even things out, because that's equity and inclusion, you see. So they'll fire the best teacher in the school to make sure that a person of color is a school teacher. Okay.
Yep.
So education is not the purpose of education. Indoctrination is the purpose of education. They've made that amply clear. Okay.
Government schools.
Yep. So and you know, I had a friend that had tracked the education system in the United States from way back in the 1900s and stuff. And the father of American, if you start looking at some of these people that are American heroes, you know, the father of American compulsory education, okay, John Dewey, he made this statement back in the 1920s. He said that the purpose of the education system is to create the new socialist man. This is the guy who headed up our education system, who put education as a compulsory thing that you have to do whether you want to or not, okay? I'm not saying education is bad for you, but indoctrination is not good for you. Indoctrination is a dumbing down, not an enlightening of people, okay? So... you know, it's like I don't understand why little kids in elementary school have to hear about racism. Why do they have to be told they're racist? You know, little kids don't think about things like that.
Why do they have to be told in the second and third grade about self-indulgent sexual practices? Why do they have to sit in front of a drag queen and be indoctrinated by that? Why do they have to go to LGBTQ so-called parades with their fat mothers and be forced to look at sexual deviancy quite literally in the raw? Why?
Yeah.
Where have we gone wrong? Where have we lost our path? I don't think it's retrievable. These children are being destroyed. Childhood.
No, they are.
Is
there
a memory.
Is no going back. I look back to. I went to school in the 1950s and 60s, And I'm very happy. I look back and I'm very, very happy that they never had sex education in school when I was there.
Because you got it.
I was pretty much innocent until I was 13 or 14, okay? I didn't know anything about sex. And thank God I didn't have to be burdened with that bullshit while I was growing up. Life is hard enough for a kid. Without having that stuff heaped upon them, you know?
Yep. Forced upon them. And now in the textbooks and the curriculum in many schools, not all of them, but in many, they're teaching masturbation. They're teaching, God only knows what they're teaching. You just made a wonderful point. You had a childhood. I had a childhood.
Yes.
Many of you listening had childhoods. The children now don't have childhoods. Not by our standards. They are programmed and destroyed as soon as possible.
In first grade, little white kids are taught that they're racist. Why throw that onto little kids that they're racist? Why do that? Why complicate their little lives?
See, they're teaching them that there's an alleged difference between the races. Why not teach them that people should be judged individually on their own particular personalities and what kind of a person they are? They don't do that.
Yeah. No, they don't. They don't at all, you know. I thought that that was a statement of the obvious, okay? But you know what? It just won't do, Jeff. It just won't do. White people have to pay for what they have done to black people and Hispanic people and Asian people. We have to pay for it, even though Hispanic, Asian people have the highest standard of living, the best jobs, the best education, more so than white people have per capita. And yet they are a marginalized class of people in America for some reason, you know. Mm-hmm. They have advantages the rest of us don't have, but they are marginalized, okay? You could apply that also to Jewish people who officially declare that they are not white people, okay? They want to be marginalized people also. They're so marginalized that half of our diverse government, half of the people that are cabinet secretaries are Jewish. They make up less than 1% of the population. How do they make up over 50% of our government?
Good question. Over 70% of Biden's top placements, right? Mm-hmm. They're all Jews.
Yeah. Yes.
And yet they're on the world stage. 0.37% of the world population, according to one study, and that's a reasonable guesstimate. And how is it that they run the planet? You got to think about this.
Well, the thing is they are the creators of wokeness. Okay, so being the woke people, of course, they're on top of the woke pyramid. And as I just said before, this whole woke thing, this is white people created wokeness. White people created CRT. White people created DEI. And all the minorities are buying it. You know, if they don't want to quit being oppressed by white people, they should stop listening to these white people.
That's the truth. Yeah, Bolsheviks. Communists come in lots of colors, but unfortunately, here in this country, a hell of a lot of them are white. It's true.
Yes.
Liberal, socialist, communist, pigs.
Yeah, so something has got to give eventually, but I have just been able to notice just in my personal life that I see a lot of minority-like people, and their righteous indignation and stuff is just obscene. You know, it's like, what do they have to complain about?
In any other environment, I guess you could laugh at it, but it's so pathetic.
Yeah.
You can't. It's just disgusting. All right, Mitchell, thank you. Another
remarkable
presentation. We will talk to you next Monday. Or no.
Okay.
It's Monday.
It is next Monday, yeah.
It is Monday? Okay, I just want to be sure.
Yeah, it's the first of the month, so it's the first 2 weeks is Monday, then the third is Tuesday.
All right.
Okay.
See
you. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, good night. Mitchell Henderson, and you can find Mitch's programs up on the left-hand side under his name. In columnists. All right, there's a lot of material for you tonight. We appreciate you, and we will be back tomorrow night in 21 hours. Talk to you then.